Check, one check, one check, two, two, two. Okay, folks. Happy late October. It's Halloween tomorrow. The leaves have fallen here in Nutmeg Country. We had the Nutmeg Nor'easter just a few days ago. What a party to end the riding season every year. But, you know, really these days with weather like this, the riding season's just beginning, right? Mountain bike season. Truly here, folks. We're gathered here today to talk about the R-Works Evu. The last video got a lot of questions from you about everything from the tubing spec to the geometry. So we're going to go over all that today, and we're going to explain the different build setups you can have and the difference from the previous mountain bike that I offered, the Alumilith, that I did with crust bikes a few years ago. Just like with any good rigid mountain bike these days, you should be able to set it up drop bar also. You know, a lot of people would argue that a rigid cross-country mountain bike is also a gravel bike, and vice versa. So the Evu platform is just that. It's versatile. Set it up drop bar, set it up flat bar, set it up upright ortho bar, set it up with tri-bars. Don't do that. What we have here, of course, is the flat bar setup and the drop bar setup. So let's take a closer look at each and talk about it a little bit, shall we? Okie dokie. Let's see here. We got the R-Works Evu set up in GravDad drop bar mode. These are with the Ultra Dynamico 700 by 45s on these Velocity Cliffhanger rims. They measure about a 46 to 46 and a half or so. Nice and beany, good and chunky, just the way we like it. And what you can see here is I didn't have another taper tracks fork, so I used one of the forks off of the Alumaxes. Just to disregard that. Although the chrome looks pretty nice with the red, doesn't it? What we've got here, a nice 75 degree C-tube angle that puts you in a really nice modern climbing position. Shorter rear end, longer front end. You're much more able to be on the nose of the saddle, or just more your weight more forward, so you're more planted. The rear tire stays more planted, and you're able to climb up steeper things at faster paces. You're also already forward on the rivets for when you want to put in those Herculean efforts.
Oh wow!
Which I know you do. You know, we could talk all we want about how hard we relax on the bicycle, and oftentimes that's exactly what we're doing. But when the time comes, it's nice to be able to throw down. The key thing when you're making any sort of mountain bike into a drop bar bike is you want to get the bars up high, okay? That's going to give you a lot more control on the trail. Mountain bikes, and this bike in particular, has a longer top tube than a standard gravel bike, although more modern gravel bikes these days are starting to lengthen in the front end. This old Salsa, pre-Salsa, when it was still called Salsa, ended up being the perfect dimension for me to use on this bike with some old Soma Portolas. So yeah, that's an Evu setup drop bar. I've got a pretty long upper body comparative to my legs. I know you all like my legs.
Oh, wow.
If you feel like you want to set it up drop bar, this is what it may look like. This is... Oh, no. Now, this right here is my interpretation of a modern XC setup without any of the extras. You know what I'm saying? In this case, extras are like disc brakes, things like that. Do brakes only slow you down and they're just not important at all? You know, that's something to consider. Right here, I've got a pretty aggressive position, which is the way I like to XC mountain bike. When I mountain bike, I like to hammer. There's no cruising, you know. The faster you go, especially on a rigid mountain bike, the more you stay on top of the rocks, and you're constantly reading the trail as if you are an Ivy League educated trail scholar. That's at least what we all aspire to. So the thing about rigid mountain biking is, especially if you're coming from suspension, the key is you got to be able to read that trail. You're not rolling over things, you're riding between things. That's why I generally like a 2.2, 2.3 inch tire, because anything bigger, in my experience, you compromise on that ability to steer between, a rock and a hard place, so to speak. This bike will clear a 2.4, 29 by 2.4. The reason why I went 2.9er on this was I was looking for something, I was looking for something that I wanted to ride faster, and 2.9ers work better at speed. I think 27.5, 650B, 26, etc. is a great wheel size also, and you should have one or two or three or four of those bikes. I feel like we kept this thing nimble enough that it doesn't feel like a boat through the trails. It's super lightweight. This bike's only 22 pounds. It's actually incredibly light. There's no carbon on it whatsoever. A lot of titanium. You're going to get a lot of flex out of this long seat post. So much flex that this flight titanium doesn't feel uncomfortable. That's pretty remarkable. I've got a titanium stem. This is a 100. The changes in the production model. We are going to have a lower bottom bracket. I put this one up pretty high. My backyard trails in Connecticut, which happen to have a lot of downed logs that I need to get over. I figured a lower bottom bracket would be best suited for most people that are going to be using this bike. The other change is this will have a stealth dropper routing, so you could run a dropper post. Really, that's it. These will also come in raw aluminum, that's standard, with either a silver powder coated fork or a chrome fork, haven't really decided yet. Powder coating is a lot better for the environment. Chrome looks cool. Crust is coming out with some wider rim brake rims, although I found that these are just fine. Not only just fine, but these are exceptionally light rims and they stay true for me. I've used them on a number of my mountain bike builds, and I use them on all customer builds. I think they're the best rims out there. So they've got some wider ones coming out that have like a 26 millimeter internal. For now, these rims are available, and so are the Velocity Cliff Hangers. There's also Astral Wheels, which is owned by White Industries. They are also developing a wide rim brake rim. Pretty cool that new rim brake stuff is still getting made these days. And that goes back to the question, why do you need to complicate it? Some of you definitely need to complicate it if you're riding in real wet conditions. But for me, I don't ride when it's wet. That's not good for your bike, and that's not good for you. Ride your Peloton in Watopia, why don't you? Okay? Okay. So what makes a bike like this different than the Alumilith, you may ask? Well, first off, you may notice the wheel size. The Alumilith fits a 27.5 by 2.6. These are 2.2s that you see on here right now. I never rode mine any bigger than 2.2, but I've seen a lot of Alumilith builds out there with much larger tires, and it looks very cool. The Alumilith, not that you can't rip on it, it's just more relaxed. The third difference is the tubing spec. You may notice the much smaller diameter tubes on the Alumilith as compared to the Evu, and also the Alumax that we the gravel bike that we did. And that's because the Alumilith is 6000 series aluminum heat treated to T6. And the Evu is Dedichai 7000 series aluminum, thinner wall, larger diameter, lighter tubes. This right here, super strong, but it's going to be a little bit heavier. Again, that's great for its intended purpose as more of a cruiser mountain bike. And of course the forks are different. We went with the, Taper Trax forks that Frank and I developed together, which are super light, super responsive, and I think are just really cool. That's what we went for. With both the Alumax and the Evu, and of course about half the weight of a suspension fork. So a pretty cool feature of my bikes in general. These forks right here, while they are a little heavier than I wanted them to be, and maybe we'll keep messing around with them. They are cool. We'll probably offer them again at some time, but I don't know. I just like the more svelte look of the Taper Trax for now. You may also notice that the Alumilith has a near-level top tube. This is like a 6-degree upslope, so it's a little bit more traditional looking.
Okay, well let's take this all in. Start sniffing. Get yourself right up to the screen. Take advantage of this little interlude before we get back into the nuts and bolts. You know, the brass tacks. Breathe deeply. Aluminum, titanium, and rubber. And a little bit of steel. Everyone's invited to this party. Yeah, those welds that Frank does. I mean, truly the master of aluminum. What are you the master of? Maybe let me know in the comments. Those long C-posts. Come to love them. Nice and flexy. Okay.
Ooh, had to get out of the sun there. That's a warm day for October 30th, folks. Okay, speaking of hot, this pre-order is live right now. And I've got 20 sold already out of 30. You know, supplies are limited. I've got 10 slots left. We got about 12 days left in this pre-order. It's open until November 10th. It was pretty cool. The pre-order, when I made it live, got picked up by a few other media outlets that aren't the Radivist, our normal channel, where people just expect this sort of thing. One of them in particular was a mountain bike only website, and the comments were hilarious to read. My favorite one was expensive, antiquated, sad. And then there was another one that called it the cutting edge of nostalgia. I rather liked that one. I couldn't agree more, actually. You know, whatever you think it is, if you want one, they're on the site right now. For a pre-order, that's half of what it's going to actually end up costing. They're on a site for a pre-order, only a deposit. You'll need to put down half. Half is $1,100 because the raw version of this with a painted fork, or should say a powder-coated fork, is $2,200. Now, if you think that's a ripoff, then you know, there's plenty of other places you can go to get a mountain bike with suspension and everything like that and all the complicated bits and bobs by a big company, probably for that same price. But of course, this is something a little bit more special. You're getting a bike made by Frank the Welder in Vermont, USA. A very, very experienced guy, and it is a dream come true to have him be making bikes for me in small batches right now. If you would have told me this when I was a teenager, that I would one day be selling bikes like this, I would have put it right up there with my wildest dream. Another wildest dream, maybe like playing beach volleyball with Glenn Danzig. Playing chess with Matthew McConaughey. I'd like that. Just intellectual to intellectual here, you know. We've got these up on the site now, ronsbikes.com. Go check it out. Get yourself a piece of mountain bike action, baby. That is, of course, a reference to the scholarly journal, Mountain Bike Action. Couldn't you see this on the front cover of Mountain Bike Action, getting about 2 inches of air? Let's call up Zap. I think he'd like this. So I hope you're able to grab one. They ride great. Trust me, you'll like it. Thanks, folks. Another fun thing is this is my new barn shop, so I'm just starting to set it up, and you know, we're gonna have some fun times in here. A lot of videos are gonna be coming out of this barn shop.